Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome back to another episode of Rock That Relationship. We are in season 14. We're talking all about friendships, and today's episode is about making and maintaining friendships as an adult. As an adult, we hear a lot of people say how difficult it is once you're out of a school setting, once you're not a kid anymore, you know, to actually go make friends. But we're going to talk a little bit about that, debunk some of the myths around that, and talk about some strategies for making and maintaining friends. So,
yes.
Excited about this topic?
Aren't I always?
You're excited about every topic. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, this was a really, it's really an interesting one just because I keep hearing from people how difficult it is when you're not in a forced space with people to make friends. And I mean, in school, like when you're in school, you're around people that are all the same age as you are. But when you're in a workplace, people are in different ages and stages. And some people aren't even in a workplace like you and me. We're not even in a workplace to have kind of friendships. So it becomes a little bit harder and people are more isolated and they're not coming out to the, you know, kids playing in the streets and all that kind of stuff. So, what are your initial thoughts about making friends as an adult? Do you think it's kind of challenging for you or do you think that it's been relatively easy?
I mean, I'd say relatively easy for me because I'm extroverted. Now, has it been different in every stage of my adult life? Yes. And like how I've done, it's been so different. So, you know, I started out in Illinois, then moved to Seattle, then I moved to, I don't even remember where I moved after that. Oh, Miami and New York City. New York City, I made friends like all the time. Like every week I was making new friends. I was just meeting interesting people, making friends. And then, and everybody likes to go out to dinner, there are drinks or whatever. So that was in my early 30s. And before that, in my 20s, I was a cop. So I was mostly hanging around the people I worked with because of my odd, you know, schedule. And then also, if I would tell people in my circle, because I was in liberal circles, that I was a cop, then I would get hostility. So like it changed, you know what I mean? Like I had different groups of people. And then when I moved to Miami, I already knew someone living there. And then she basically used me as her dog sitter. And like, she wasn't really that nice. And then I became friends with like a lady in her 60s and she rented me a house for less, which was nice. And she was kind of a mentor of sorts. And then, but I left and I went to Colorado and then I lived in the mountains literally by myself. And one friend came to stay with me for a little while. And then I moved back to Seattle, went to law school. So then I could stay connected with my friends from Seattle, but then I got law school friends, right? And then after law school, I moved and went to Wyoming. And that was a town of like hardcore mountain people doing like, you know, like a lot of crazy stuff. And I got in with I worked at a hotel, that little inn. And so I was friends with my boss and her husband and the family and then, you know, people in town. But that was a little bit of a harder place for me to make friends. And I'm trying to think why. I can't remember why. But then I moved, you know, to North Carolina. And then I made friends there in different ways. Like, what's that called? CrossFit. And then I became friends with like my hairdressers, but not like close friends, you know. Strangely, I'm still friends with those hairdressers. And North Carolina is very racially divided. And so it's an interesting place. It was a weird place to live. And most of my friends were Black there, but not close friends. And that's the other thing, because I didn't really fit in that community, you know, and I wasn't Southern. So I was there for 4.5 years and then moved to Arizona. And I was married and had children. And so I didn't really make a lot of friends because I didn't really have time. And then I got divorced and then I started making more friends. That's where you came into the picture. And then other people. So like I've had my core group of friends as I've moved around. Like I never lost touch with those friends, but then I made friends here, made friends like with you, you were like, even though you'd been here for a long time, you were kind of in a similar position. Do you remember? We were doing meetups and going to the events. Now things I don't go to, like, but now I'm back to like, oh, I'm a solopreneur or entrepreneur, so I need to network. And I'm like, ah, I have to go do those things again. So, I think in the age we're in with meetups, with networking, like I just joined a networking group. I mean, you have to pay and it's business networking, so I'm learning a lot, but I'm also, it's the chapter I'm in is aligned by LGBTQ stuff, so allies and people. And so that's awesome too. Like, I don't know, it's really, I guess the difficulty, one difficulty for people would be obviously their personality, right? They're more introverted, so it's harder to do it. But then two, the difficulty is time as an adult, how do you want to spend your time and where can you spend your time? And now I'm married with kids and it's difficult. Yeah, the weekends are packed, so it's like, what can I do? You know what I mean? And I drive more now, I don't like, I don't, it's not like the city where I'm walking around meeting people, or I don't go to dog parks anymore because I have three dogs and there's just no way. So that, yeah, I've like thought about that. I want to take the dogs to the dog park, but I can't do it with on my own. I need my wife to go, but she works till 7:30 p.m. a lot. So it's like, where would I meet people? You know what I mean? And would it be weird if I just start talking to them at the Trader Joe's? I mean, I've met the Trader Joe's employees, so I'm friends with a bunch of them because I go there so often, but like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it, I mean, for me, it just depends. Like now that I'm married, I don't want to go out and do like a whole bunch of nighttime things, but then I have my pickleball friends. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you have to be more discerning of your time. Because
It's
there's.
hard though, because I would like to do a lot, but it's like, my God, I don't even have time. These three dogs, it's a lot.
That's
Three
why I
dogs,
didn't
three kids.
get a cat again. I mean, and I
Yeah.
know cats are way less maintenance. I just didn't want to be bound to changing litter and not being able to go out of town and all of that kind of stuff at the drop of a hat. I mean,
I know you're debt free, pet free.
I know. And it was kind of a goal. So I'm
Yeah.
happy about that. And then, I'm
And you're
temporarily,
still young enough to enjoy it.
I know. And then my kid, she's, going to be back for her senior year next year, but then she'll be off too. So I'm going to be,
Right.
empty nesting. So it's a really interesting time. But, one of the things that's kind of different than what you're talking about is I really haven't ebbed and flowed with how I make friends and throughout my life and what I've done with friends. So whether or not I'm in a relationship matters zero to my friendships. I show up just as often and do just as many things with just as many friends, whether I'm in a relationship or not.
But you've been, okay, but this is interesting because you have an interesting life path, right? Because your kid was living up in the Bay Area and you were working in Ohio and then you were still maintaining your home here. So you're bouncing between the three. I mean, didn't that make it difficult for you? Because like now you've got like a lot, you have your disposal, or what's that called? Free time. Your free time. Your free time. Like you've designed a life. Because you could go to get another cat, but when you have a cat, even if it's just a cat, you still have to like, get a pet sitter if you're going to be gone for more than a day or two. You have to do all that. So like right now you're like at your highest, this like the easiest time for you to do all this stuff because you're debt free, you're relatively well off, you've got no pets.
Right. And I've got a kid who, even though she's not with me now, but she's of driving age, which has made a lot more independence for me to have some free time.
Right.
I was spending up to 2 hours in the car every day, taking her to and from school. So I've got that time back. So I do have time. So my whole thing is that I've always had a lot of friends. I've always invested in friendships, whether I'm in a relationship, I'm not, or whatever. But I think one of the things that you brought up, which was interesting, is there have been many points over the last 15 years that I've been going from one place to the next. I've had multiple residences and multiple places, and I've gone back and forth. And the difficulty with that hasn't been making friends. The difficulty in that has been being able to do things with those friends. Cause I always said, like, why am I in the wrong place at the wrong time? I would be in Ohio when it was a friend's birthday in Arizona, or I'd be in Arizona when it was a really cool hike that was happening in California, where I would also have a place to live. And it was like, I was never in the right place at the right time for those things. And that was what was getting frustrating. And so it's almost like maybe that would have been a good time of my life to become more of a hermit, because I was getting so much FOMO. It was like, so I was investing in all these friendships, but I couldn't be where I wanted to be at all times. And so finally during COVID, I narrowed down to one location, and, you know, I'm in Arizona, and I have no.
Does that make your life easier?
Oh God, 1,000 times easier. I did not like going back and forth to all those places. Mm. It was very expensive, but it was also very confusing. And like I said, it made it so inconsistent as to when I would be places. So,
right.
You know, it was really difficult, but I still had pockets of friends in all the places that I lived, so that I had a very intricate calendar. So I knew, like, Right. Okay, Saturday I'm going to be in the Bay Area. So, oh, wait a minute. This is what's happening on Saturday. Plug it into my calendar, but I'm going to be in Ohio for this meeting on this day. I'm going to go and hike with this friend. So it was a lot of like balancing, and I'm really glad that I don't have that anymore. But as far as like the making of the friends, I've always had a lot of friends. I always am making friends. I'm always making room for friends, connecting with people. And you know, as well as I do, that I have a lot of friends, and I invest very, very heavily in my friendships, mm-hmm. regardless if I'm in a relationship.
Well, that's where I think that's what that is. I don't have the same amount of like, I have a lot of physical energy. I have a lot of that, you know, like my wife's younger and she's like, how's it? You get up way before me. You have so much energy. You have, mm-hmm. and like, I do, but I don't have the same like, social or emotional energy that you do. I can't do it. I become, it's like, okay, I've got to make sure my home and family stays intact, and I really don't have the emotional or social energy outside of that. I just don't like, mm-hmm. and now I'm trying to do a business on top of that. Well, two businesses, and I'm like, okay, can I even handle this? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I know even before you were even in a relationship, back when you've been single, you would go to like a party for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You say you're going to go for 20 minutes. You'd stay for an hour, but the party was right. Like 4 hours. So,
right.
But, and then
can't do that. I can't. I know. It's like, I don't, even though I'm an extrovert, it's like, I want to come in. I want to say, hi, hey, what's going on? How are you? And then I'm gone. I do not like drama. I do not like remaining around for like idle time. Like, mm-hmm. and I do like one-on-one. So if I want to get to know people, I want to know them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want, I'm not a party person. I never have been. I had one party. No, I had two parties. I've had two parties here in this house that I've owned since 2020 by myself. I've had two parties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, remember, you were at both. You came to the Super Bowl party and the other one, and I clean up. I'm spending the whole time, and I'm not stressed about it, but I'm cleaning the whole time. I'm like picking up after people.
Yep, it's not really fun.
No, I had fun, but see, I could not have fun. That's the thing. Okay. So I have fun. Hey, everyone's having fun talking, saying hi, but I am not going to be hours after people are leave clean. Like, I like to do it at the time. So when we have dinner, you know, the kitchen is like the dining room table is like a foot from the kitchen. So I am still talking, but I'm getting things done. It's just how I am. And so I feel like for me, if I want to socialize, it's got to be hiking or pickleball or something where I'm doing something else. I can't go to a party unless it's a dinner party and it's like people are just talking about policy or, you know, I'm like, one of my main interests, as you know, is like government stuff, you know, even though I haven't run for office, it's something I often thought, okay, maybe I want to do that in the future. So I'm very much not small talky person.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Well, you like a party more than I do, but I was going to say, you know, we had our conversation in episode one about what was it called? Like thin threads or,
You're talking about weak ties.
Weak ties. Well, just before we started recording this podcast, I went random my grocery shopping at the beloved Walmart, and I was like, I'm going to get in and get out. And so I was putting my stuff in my car, and there was a lady a couple cars down. I had noticed her. She's older and she had a cane. And so when I got done, I waited for her to make sure that she was getting her groceries, you know, in her car, and I didn't want to get too freak her out or get too close. But then I asked if I could take her cart back, and that was a weak tie, right? And she said to me, "It is so nice when people offer to help. Thank you." And so I thought, you know, that is a weak tie that probably made her feel better, like her whole day feel better. Mm-hmm. All I did was take her cart, literally, like two cars down. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I thought about that. I was like, okay, that's what we're talking about. Like those little interactions that are nice.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't the world just be that way? Instead, you get these people just being jerks
right.
or mean or literally outright violent. And so it's like, if we could all just be that way to each other, mm-hmm. wouldn't this world be so much nicer?
It would be. Well, that's like the, you know, we talk about those weak ties are really good for connection. So we want the long-term connection. We want the short-term connection. We want the deep connection. And sometimes we just want the a little bit of surface connection, right? You didn't need to ask her about her whole life and why she needed help getting the cart back. It was just like that's what that connection was supposed to be. But, you know, I think about when you're talking about making small talk and stuff too. I can do it. I'm pretty charming. I honestly can. I don't like it. It actually takes more out of me to be surface level with people than it does to have a deeper conversation. And that, and what's interesting, and I mentioned this before in our previous episode, was this idea that I like spending a lot of one-on-one time with people because you can really get to the heart of things. You can have honest conversations. You can, you know, have vulnerability and things that might not even happen if there's, you know, three of you as opposed to two of you. And so I make it a point to see certain friends. I make it a point to reach out and do stuff with them. I have one friend that pretty much every week for the last 4 years, we have been going to, other than when we've been out of town and stuff, but we go and we play basketball and we go have dinner. We do it like every Wednesday night. We've been doing it for years. We make it a point, and I just say I'm busy on Wednesdays. I tell other people I'm busy on Wednesdays. And, you know, I have another friend that we make it a point to go hiking pretty frequently. And, you know, I reach out, and I'm constantly reaching out to people to say, when can we spend one-on-one time together? And to me, that's like super important, because then we can get to some really deep stuff. But that's cultivating those friendships, because it would be really easy to just say, oh, let's get together and play basketball, and then you never reach out and do anything. And then it's just like years go by and you hardly know this person. But over the years, we've been playing basketball and chatting and become really good friends.
Well, and that's like a deeper friendship. You guys are really good friends and you talk about stuff.
Yeah. But I have a lot of those friends.
And that works for that person. Well, yeah. And that she sometimes goes to parties, but, you know, she's not in my way of where I show up for 20 minutes because she'll be there, but she doesn't go out as much, you know? She's like, you're more social than both of us combined.
That's probably true. I'm pretty social. I'll go. And not only am I going to parties, I'm more often than not hosting them. Dinners or something, or I'm organizing a hike, a meetup event or something, because I like that kind of social nature, even though it's a big group and I prefer the one-on-ones. I like the group because it pulls people together initially, and then you can have meaningful discussions like one-on-one while you're there. Like when I go to a party, sometimes I'll sit off to the side with someone and just chat with them, and, you know, if you want to have that one-on-one. But I think when we talk about how difficult is it to make friends as an adult, I mean, there's two steps to that, right? There's one step is like putting yourself in places where you're going to meet people who are going to align with your values. And the second part is taking the initiative to, say something, introduce yourself, ask them if they want to hang out, or just even if it is painful, like for me, making small talk at the beginning of a friendship is appropriate because you don't want to just jump in too far. But, you know, those are the two things about making friends. But the part that we don't talk about a lot is that, you know, we as individuals often meet a lot of really cool people in this world, but we don't follow up. And that's the part where it goes from just being a very weak tie or even a fleeting interaction to being an actual friendship, is that part, that follow up. We do all the hard work. We do the heavy lifting at the front, which is introducing ourselves or making the small talk, connecting with them, maybe even exchanging contact information. And then we do nothing with it. And, you know, or we get asked to do something and it's like, nah, oh, I'm busy. No, I'm going to be tired this weekend or whatever. And you say no enough that people stop asking. And so the part about making friends is you have to invest in those friendships.
Right.
How do you invest in friendships? Do you think you're more of an initiator asking people to do things, or are you more of people ask you to do things?
I'm probably more of the initiator. But again, it's like I like situations where you're doing something else. So like ENP, the Elephant Nature Park, where you're volunteering. So you're becoming friends. You're talking while you're shoveling poo or cleaning vegetables in the kitchen or whatever. So I can't stand just sitting there.
Okay. Like going, I know you're not a big go to lunch person and you don't drink coffee. So like you wouldn't do those kind of things.
Although remember, I did talk to that. I did go to coffee with that person that was a friend. Like we would meet like, I don't know, once a month. She was much younger. She was like in her 20s and we were both public defenders. And then she just was not a healthy person. But I did get bored after a while. I got bored pretty quick, you know? So I feel like it's got to be dual purpose or I'm going to get really bored.
Well, and then you can ask people to go do something specific. But also one of the things I like about doing something specific is that it often has a start and an end time. Like I've had lunch or coffee with someone and you're like, I kind of want this to be over. And then there's no real like wrapping up unless you say something. But if you're on a hike and you reach the trailhead at the end, you're like, all right, well, I'll see you later. And if you want to spend more time, you can talk at the trailhead, but it's not rude or anything or off-putting to just be like, bye, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've had people get annoyed with me because like I talk to servers and all that and whatnot. Like if I'm in a restaurant, I don't even go to restaurants anymore, but I feel like you could meet anybody anywhere and it's just whether you click and you're willing to put in the time. But that's the thing. It's like, how much time does a person have, you know?
Right. Well, and if you're doing things dually, right, maybe you would have time. You are already going to go to XYZ. Do they want to come with you or do you want to do it together? You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're more doing that when you're in a relationship. I wouldn't really do that with new people, you know, unless it was both of us like doing like my wife and I doing something, or unless it's through networking, you know, like now I'm meeting a lot of people through networking, but it has a purpose for me and a purpose for them. But I wouldn't just go out at this point. I mean, I do have my good core group of friends, but I don't know that I would go looking for more friends or making more friends at this stage in my life. But I also, you know, I think Tucson's boring as all hell. So I'm like, if I was somewhere else, I might, if it was snowboarding, if it was, but I mean, I never really met anyone snowboarding in Wyoming now that I think of it. I feel like I've met more people in places. So I was watching that movie, Incredibly Bright Creatures or whatever it was, but it was in the Pacific Northwest up by Bellingham, Washington. And so they were kayaking and stuff like that. And I feel like that to me, like soccer, when I was in Seattle, I played soccer, you know, adult soccer. I mean, granted it was co-ed and the men were way too aggressive. And I was like, whoa, this is like, we all have to go to our jobs. Do we really need to, you know, leave it all out on the field for co-ed soccer? So like, I didn't like that so much. So I think pickleball serves that for me. I mean, a lot of different people, and it's only four people per game, but I like, because I'm at that club, I work at that club, I'm at that club. I'm meeting new people all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing friends all the time, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's a great way to make friends, like join a team, join a league, go do something, you know, every Thursday night or whatever it is that you're doing. Like I ended up, you know, I've been in this writing group for over six years now called Shut Up and Write. And it's based out of Tucson, but since it's online, there's a number of people that aren't from Tucson. So it's kind of hard to know who's actually from here. But when I had my book launch, two of the guys from the group came to the book launch, which was really cool. And then for my virtual one, one of the women came and I thought, well, that's really cool. And then, this one woman, she actually reached out to me, through LinkedIn a couple weeks ago. And she's like, oh, I actually am in Tucson. So we decided to have coffee last week. And we just, we ended up talking for like 2 hours about everything under the sun. It was really fun. But I met her through a writing group and we just ended up having coffee and I'm going out with someone from my writing group next week. Because it's a great segue, right? Like we have writing in common. We're in a group. We're sort of in a little ways vetted a little bit. Like we're not total strangers. And so I like meeting people in those capacities. And then of course, you know, I meet people through meetups where, you know, we'll be out and about. And then next thing you know, we're hiking and I'm like, oh, you're really fun. Let's exchange phone numbers and we'll go do stuff. And so there's a couple of people I do Timamok with that, you know, I've recently met in the last, you know, 8 months. And stuff. And so it's like, oh, okay, well, that's fun. And for the listeners, Tumamoc is a hill nearby that is a really nice hiking path. But so, I mean, those are really good inroads. But then, like, I joined the softball team, and I already had one friend on there. I already knew another person that was on there, but there wasn't anybody who, like, was like a new friend. So, mm-hmm. and same with my basketball team. I mean, I really like them. We're friendly. But I, you know,
but
there's
you don't
no one.
Hang out I don't hang out. Of it.
But I, I suppose I could if there was somebody that struck my fancy. There just really isn't anybody that really, really does. But it's a good way to get out there. And we keep getting new people on the team. So maybe I will meet somebody that could be a cool friend. So, it, you know, I guess it's putting yourself into those places that you want to meet people if you want to make friends. And in your case, if you feel like you're sort of at your capacity and, you know, you're not looking for more friends. Then it's about,
I mean, I'm at my capacity with time. You know what I mean? And what I can do. I mean, a lesbian couple moved in down the street from us maybe 6 months ago. So I watch their cats, and like when they're gone a lot because they work, they have to leave for work. So I watch their cats. So I'm always in their house. I love their house. It's just similar to ours, but it's more finished because I haven't done all the finishing in the house here. But, we hang out, but it's like, you know, they're kind of more like us where it's like, we say, okay, let's get together and do something, but we don't always make it happen, even though they're down the street. I prefer, like, they're going dog walking with me tonight. I need it. Everything I do has to be dual purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes it better for me.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question though, when we talk about making friends, because, you know, you brought up things like neighbors or people that you've met, like that you've, you know, when you live in a town, a small town or whatever, and you talk to them. And I've talked about more contrived things like joining groups, clubs, meetups and things like that. But they're the probably one of the most contrived ways of meeting friends is actually through a friendship app. And you introduced me to the Bumble BFF app because you you did it a couple years ago?
Yeah, it's been a couple years now. And I became friends with one person, and I don't know where I think she moved to LA. And then you and I met collectively a couple people, but they were living in town. So I think for them, it's too hard to like keep in touch. And I mean, that's the thing. I hike with a friend every week in the winter. She won't hike in the summer. It's too hot for her, but then we don't really communicate. We'll text a little bit, you know what I mean? But we don't talk on the phone. We don't do any of that. Like, we never meet up for any other reason, only for that hike.
Hmm. That's not somebody you met on Bumble BFF, or it is?
No, it was that, I mean, I don't want to say her name, but I met her at the gym, you know, at Planet Fitness.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
We've been friends for years. So, like, but we only do that. I mean, we've gone over, she and her boyfriend had us over for lunch at the house. But again, it's like, I don't know if it's because I have ADD, ADHD or whatever, but, like, I cannot just sit. I need to be doing something.
Yes.
I get too bored. Like, okay, let's go do something. So like hiking, walking, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in the, you know, we're beginning to be in the summer now. So that makes it a little more difficult because again, it's like, you know, it is interesting. So this morning I walked the dogs. I could not wake. I didn't try like hard to wake her up, but I couldn't wake my wife up. Right. And she was clearly just sound asleep. And I'm like, I'm just going to take the dogs because I can't wait. It's getting too hot. Right. So then I took the kids to school. So she went running after we left and it was only 7:10 and it was already hot. And she later said, you're really onto something with this getting up early. And I'm like, I know. I've been telling you, but it's here in Tucson area, like, in the summer, you have to be up and you got to be done. It's like Asia. I guess that's why it's very familiar to me, or I like it. It's like you have to be up by 4 or 5, have all your exercising done by 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock and be done and inside. I mean, it was 100 degrees last night at 6 p.m. So we were going to walk with the neighbors last night with the dogs. I'm like, I can't take the dogs out. It's too hot. We didn't walk the dogs until 8 p.m., you know, mm-hmm. and then you're walking with headlamps and there's could be rattlesnakes and there's coyotes and javelinas. And so it's like, you have to adapt to your circumstances. And I think that's the case for like, is it the natural environment? Is it the like political environment we're in? Is it the social media environment we're in, you know? And how dedicated are you? I mean, so it's not for me to wake my wife up and get her up. If she wants to get up, she'll get up, you know, so set her alarm or whatever. But I have to like get stuff done. And so I think that's the same with friendship. It's like, how do you want to hang out? I'm just not going to be that person who goes to dinner or goes to parties unless I can come and leave really quickly.
Yes. Yes. I'm definitely aware of that. Well, it was interesting too when you did, because that's how you come to my parties too. So I remember when you did Bumble BFF, it was really funny when you talk about this dual purpose thing. So you were already going to like a vegan festival or something. And right. then you invited like all the Bumble BFF friends that didn't right. know each other so that you could sort of do like a big, all like big group yeah. thing and get it kind of done with. Meet them
done
all
and knocked out. Exactly.
And you could meet them all and then decide who you wanted to hang out with. And I was like, okay. Cause you're like, you want to come meet up? I'm meeting up with my Bumble BFF friends. And I was like, I don't know these people. And you're like, well, they don't know each other either. And I was like, okay. So.
And I don't know them. Exactly.
I remember that. But you know, when I did Bumble BFF, it was really different. Like I didn't do that. I didn't say I'm already going to be somewhere. Hey, why don't all of you come? I mm-hmm. met up, I messaged with a lot of them like for a long time before we actually even got together. There, I've only hung out with six people on Bumble BFF. Maybe it was five. And, they all started with messaging almost like a dating app. It was kind of interesting because I had to figure out if I wanted to even.
Well, I mean, it is a dating. I mean, originally it was a dating app and right. then somebody added BFF, right? But that's the concept.
It's the concept because you want to match with somebody. I had a lot of people right. that like that swiped on me or I swiped on them or whatever it was. And they were boring. We had nothing in common, you know, and it was like, do I even want to like meet up with this person? But I found a handful of people that seemed like we shared some interests, and I had some really, you know, good connections with some people, and, you know, only one of them has really stuck. I have kind of a pseudo one that I could call every once in a while, but she's been going through some things. So we've been kind of missing each other. But another one I met, the last one that I met before I sort of got off the account, turned out to be that we have a ton in common. And so we've gone to dinner a couple times. She came over to a party of mine and she, you know, so it's kind of fun to have that, but the other ones didn't really turn out. It was really a right. lot like the dating app. It was like,
I think so. That is kind of the issue that one, people feel awkward about the format. It's like a good idea. And I was saying that there should be a friendship app until someone informed me that, yeah, it's called Bumble BFF. And like, but then you're like, okay, now I'm on something that also is a dating app, even though they're separate functions, it still feels weird. Every time you keep saying Bumble BFF, I'm like, it's like bringing up dating app to me. So it's like, yes, it's a good idea, but I do think people feel awkward on there. And it's really hard to tell, like, I'm not going to waste my time, like, going to, like, hang out with somebody, like, just one-on-one, like, okay, I didn't mind that, okay, there's going to be this vegan festival, I'll be there. But, because I need an out one, I need other distractions, too. And I don't want anyone ever thinking that, like, I'm hitting on them, you know?
Right.
So I would not do it. I just would not feel comfortable.
Well, and like, that's a really good point. Like of my, I think it was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. No, it was 5 people that I met in person from Bumble BFF. 3 of them ended up being lesbians, and mm-hmm. I was not on there to date. I was not on there right. to, you know, and it, you know, it's fun to have friends that are lesbians. Right. But like, I'm like, are you on here because you want to maybe meet somebody to eventually date, which turned out to be right. the case for one of them at least. And, at least with me. And then, you right. know, so I'm not sure what's happening. Right. So it's kind of awkward. And then the 2 straight women that I met, it was also like kind of awkward.
Right.
And so, you know, while I like it, I don't want to deter people from doing it because like, if you have no other way of putting yourself out there, absolutely, right. you know, because you can make some cool friends. But for me, I prefer stuff like the Facebook groups and meetup groups and things that are having events so that you can go to right. an event rather than meet up with a person and try to figure out what you're right. going to do. You go to the event and try to figure out who you're going to meet up with. And then as you naturally talk to people, you form a friendship, maybe you don't even say, hey, let's hang out or let's hang out separately. Maybe you just keep going to events and that same person is there for five or six hikes. And then you're like, you know what? We have a lot in common with this. You want to go do this other hike that I've heard about, been wanting to do it. It just seems more natural. But I also know that in some communities, I was talking with someone this weekend, some communities don't have a lot of meetup groups or Facebook groups or community groups where they can meet people in kind of more organically. But if you can, those are just, those are gems. That's where I found most of my friends.
Well, okay. So we are in the lesbian community and those are mostly lesbians, right? And so I do, I think like I've seen those things that are like, oh, dinner club or whatever. And I wouldn't go because I've been on, because they're mixed gender. And when you're on, and I have a lot of male friends, they were mostly cops or they were a certain kind of guy. Like it's kind of awkward feeling. And I can imagine for straight women as well. Like if you really are truly just looking for friends and now you're in mixed gender company and there are people trolling for, you know, dating partners, which happens just in these, I don't know. I've told you, I've gotten out of any kind of hiking groups online that are mixed because the comments and the just nastiness. And so I think I'd be more fearful as a single straight woman going to these kind of, I definitely wouldn't meet up for friends with like a dude, right? But if you met a guy and you could become friends with them through like one of these dinner things, but those are high risk for straight women, you know, because they're going to be hit on. They're going to be like, could be followed or something to their car. Like, so I don't know. And Bumble BFF is probably more straight women meeting straight women, lesbians meeting straight women, lesbians meeting lesbians, right? Because men aren't probably like to be on there for just friendship.
Well, and you can also, in theory, click the box that says, you know, what you're looking for. Although many men slip through mine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So I think when it becomes like a safety issue and like, okay, how do I comfortably do this? I mean, for a while, I was really in that comedian, you know, the stand-up comedians group in Tucson. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's like I go through stages that I'm not even controlling. I don't know who's controlling it, but it's not me. Like I'm still friends with all those people on Facebook, but I don't go do stand up. I don't hang out. I don't like, you know, it's weird. It's like cycles of my life that I go through. And then I think, okay, well, who would I have more in common with? I really like those stand up people, but they're doing a lot of drugs and things I don't do, you know? So then, okay, well, we can hang out during the show, but I'm not hanging out afterwards. And then the same with like the community I probably gelled with the most or the is pickleball. And it doesn't seem like I've never encountered where it's a big drinking culture, going out culture, you know, if people are becoming friends. Like my problem now is like, a lot of the people I started with and friends with, they're just all tournaments. And they literally like go to tournaments in Georgia and like Texas and all that. And I'm just never going to be that person. I'm never going to spend that money. I'm never going to do that. So they're all rooming together in Airbnb, which is like my absolute worst nightmare. So that's the thing about me also, right? I do not want to like, I don't want to spend the night. I'm not even talking the same place. I'm just like even the same resort. Like I do not want to have to like, I do not like forced socialization.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, I see these friends and they're all going. And it's interesting because you said like FOMO earlier. I don't really have FOMO. I don't care. I just don't care. I'm very weird. I can't even figure myself out now that I'm saying all this because it's like I don't have FOMO. I don't care. Go and do everything you're going to do. And also, like I was talking to my wife this morning, like, you know, we're talking about her parents and their needs and they're very simple. And, you know, I'm like, I'm the same way. Like, I really don't have my main desire now in life. Everything is just to go to ENP, to Elephant Nature Park. That's it. That's all I want is to take care of my family, take care of my home and go to Elephant Nature Park. I don't care if I ever do anything else on this earth.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like it. That's all I care about.
Well, I mean, it's good that you know that. I mean, then you make all your decisions around that.
Yeah, you should see all this clothes I'm saving so I can take there as a donation. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. I think the best thing is like, do you know yourself? Do you know how people are like, oh, put yourself out there, do this. And that's comfortable for some people and maybe not comfortable for others, you know? But the good thing is like, there are so many ways to meet people now,
right?
You know?
Yes.
There are a lot of ways to meet people. And you got to keep your friendships up. Like, I value my long-term friends more than anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't need, like, I don't know. I don't need more, but I enjoy more, but I don't need more. And so I feel for people who are lonely and they're having a hard time.
Right.
You know? Right.
I mean, not as hard. I've met so many people that, you know, even if I've become friends with them, I've been some people's only friend. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's so, I don't know, maybe it works for them, but it's kind of like, wow, that puts a lot of pressure on me.
I mean, if they say it works for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, I don't need to have a million friends around me, but, you know, I have, you know, over the last year or so, I started to go through this like discernment process of like, who are my friends and where am I spending my time and who am I spending my time with? And I started to raise the bar a little bit on the expectations I had for friendships. And remember last summer, I sloughed off a lot of friendships, a lot. And then I would cry to you and be like, right, I don't have any friends. And you're like, yes, you do. But you're raising the bar and you're just letting go of people who aren't meeting your standards to make room for people who do. And it was funny because, you know, it was a big heartache for me to kind of terminate some friendships. But at the same time, all sorts of new people.
But your
people
life has
in.
Actually gotten better.
It's gotten so
your
much
life
better.
Has gotten so much better since we went to LA almost 1 year ago. Your life is, even though your life has always been really good, it's like got even better.
It did. I had so much more peace letting go of some of those friendships, and we'll talk about that later in the season around toxicity. But it was like, I didn't have a lot of time to make new friends because I was so busy with all the people I had. But then I realized a lot of the people that were in my life were not people that were, you know, serving me well. Like they were just, you know, they would bring me down or it wasn't reciprocal or some of them were being mean spirited. And it was like, okay, well, if I cut those people out, it really gave me like room and opportunity to meet some people who weren't like that. And it's been interesting because it immediately, as soon as those vacancies were there, other people stepped up and people that I just met. So I've met, you know, a handful of people over the last 6 to 8 months that are just wonderful people. And I'm so much more at peace and by raising the bar, but I had to be okay with letting go of some things to make room for others. And that was a hard process too.
And you had to speak it out and talk it out and cry it out and like work through it because you maybe don't know exactly what it is you need or want. But I also think that like, it's, you are the busiest person. You say, oh, I'm by myself all the time working at home or this or that. But like, I asked you on Friday, what are you doing for the weekend or Thursday or Friday? And you listed off like 8 things. And I was just already like, oh my God. Like if I had that, you know what I mean? I'd be like over the top. But then it's like, everything is like different for every person. Mm-hmm. And that's where they have to set their boundary. And like, you know, I'm more social than my wife is. And so then it's like, oh, I added this or added that. And I'm like, I'll just go and do it. You know, like if you don't want to, you're too tired, that's fine. But mm-hmm. I'm still going to go do it. And then it, you know, like, I think that that's, it's really, there's opportunities out there for whatever you want to do. And I'm sure there's clubs for introverts, right? Like knitting clubs and stuff.
I mean, introverts do other things besides knit. But yes, I would imagine there's things.
Well, people, okay. Should I say introvert? Well, like where they don't want to feel put on the spot. They don't, you know, like I joined was Toastmasters once. Where you have to go and give toasts. And now I'm in this networking group where you have to give your elevator speech. You know, you got to give your pitch every week on the Zoom with everybody staring at you. And I mean, some people just aren't like, but I think if you're satisfied with that and that's okay, then that's okay. It's like whatever floats your boat, right? But if you're sad, if there are people out there who are sad and they're like, don't know how to make friends or reach out. Like, I mean, even ChatGPT is like a great resource, you know, for helping.
I can give you ideas. Honestly, in your local community, particularly. Right. Like you say, I'm interested in this, 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 and this. What are some local groups I could join? What are some events happening that I might want to go to? And then you can all of a sudden get like a curated calendar of things to do, which is
right.
Awesome. And one of the things I think you're talking about though, that I think is important to note, and I know where you were going with the knitting club comment, is some people want to have friends and have like interactions, and other people want to just go to an event and sort of play beside someone, right? Like they don't want to be alone, but they don't necessarily want to be like super invested and involved and put on the spot to engage with people.
Right.
So you might go, and a knitting group is a good example, or, you know, something with art or whatever, where you go and you do it in company of others. Like that's how my writing group is. We don't interact with each other. We do at the beginning and the end of the session, but for an hour in the middle, we just write like in a Zoom room with each other. And it's just, and for me, I write all the time. I don't need that, but I like it. I like to be around other people who are also writing. So those are good, like midway things to get into, where if you're very shy, you know, and you don't want to interact, just join something where you can do something alongside people, where you can like go to a basketball game and watch the basketball game. You don't have to turn and talk to the people that are sitting near you if you don't want to, but you can go to the game and you're around people and it gets you sort of out and about.
Well, like, I can't stand it when people say, like, oh, go and eat dinner, you know, go to a restaurant by yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, if that does not work for you, don't do it. Like, I cannot stand it when people say that. I would never do that. I would not do it. Nope.
No, the one go time to a restaurant by yourself? I go to restaurants by myself all the time.
I know you do.
But I don't go to eat with other people or to, like, meet people. I go because I, like, want to eat that food, and so I go.
I mean, I would do that. I don't even care for that. But like, I'm saying like people are like, oh, go, like, put yourself out there. But like, you don't need to. If you don't want to, you don't need to. One. And two, put yourself out there. If you're going to put yourself out there, do it in a way that's comfortable. So you're not feeling like, you know what I mean? So like when I say knitting club, that like people are there knitting, sitting there, right? They're like focused on their own, what they're doing. Like, to me, that's a like, lesser way to get into a group of people where it isn't like Toastmasters where you're just out there giving a speech or whatever. Like, it's like you can go and be doing an activity with your hands, but sitting, and there's conversation, but you know, a lot of the conversation is going to be, you know, about the activity. And then I get this, it's woven, personal information can be woven into it. You get what I did? Knitting woven into.
Ah, but bump.
Like that, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like that kind of club, you can be doing something else, but weave in a less high risk way, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm not going to go to a knitting club because I wouldn't know how to knit. And I don't want to learn how to knit and I'd be bored. But like, if I did knit, or what are other things people do where they could talk? A glass blowing class. And then you might just end up talking to someone. You're like, how come you like glass blowing? This is why I like glass blowing. But you're also, your focus isn't on, we're here to make friends.
Right.
We're here because we're lonely. We're here because, you know, especially for people who have difficulty, I think, like being vulnerable, being open, then go to that class or club or something like that, or club. You know, like, so when I was working at the pickleball club one day, this guy came in and he's like, well, I want to play, but I don't know anybody. And I'm worried that I'm not going to have friends to play with. And, you know, if I join, I'm not going to have friends to play with. And I was like, here, let me introduce you to some people. So I introduced him, and then I broke my arm, and I come back a month and a half later, and there he is, like the star of the club, you know, and he knows everybody. And I'm like, I told you. And so it's like, you know, those kind of places, not every club is like that, but like a martial arts club or something where you're like in a class, you know?
Right. You're with other people who share that interest. I mean, even when I went on my Iceland trek, right, it was an all female hiking trek for 5 days and four nights. And it was like, most everybody came with someone that they knew. But some people didn't. And even those that came with someone they knew, we just all had downtime, and we were just, you know, we'd stop for a snack break, and you'd end up sitting next to somebody somebody else and you just start chatting. And by the end, we had all gotten to know each other pretty well. And I wasn't going to make friends. I was going to hike Iceland. I just didn't want to do it by myself or without a guide in particular. But I mean, again, it's to your comfort level, but I'm assuming if someone's listening to this episode, they're probably interested in ways to make friends as an adult. And so, yeah, go to the things that like they go to the things you would normally go to. Like the best advice is while you're looking for, if you're open to a dating partner, or you're open to friendships or any of that kind of thing, just live your life. Just do what you want to do. And then the right people will continue to show up. It's just that when you don't do anything or you kind of hide, it's harder to meet people. But if you like basketball games and you want to go to a basketball game, then buy a ticket and go to a basketball game and just keep doing that. Maybe you'll meet somebody at a basketball game. Maybe you won't, but you know what? At the end of the day, you're still going to have fun at the basketball game because you like basketball, right? So, and that's the thing, whether it's knitting or whether it's martial arts or whatever, glass blowing, just go do the things that you want to do and you'll likely meet people that are, you know, have something in common with you.
Well, and I mean, literally now you can literally just say into the internet, like, okay, this is what I want to do. These are my interests and I want to make friends, and it will show you like what's out there. And there are places that are dedicated to making friends. That's what that dinner club thing is about, making friends, you know?
Yeah. It's like meaningful conversations. And then you've got, again, if you want the app, you've got like a Bumble BFF app and there's other friendship apps out there. If you want to join Meetup, right? You can go and just go to events. I love doing Meetup events. Like, I've met so many people through them, but I've done meetup events that are, I've gone to, I went to one that was like, learn how to manifest. This was several years ago. And I went and like we went to this seminar thingy and it was like, learn how to manifest. And so many of us kind of connected at that thing that we formed our own manifesting group. And every other Monday night for like, I don't know, 12 or 15 weeks, we got together and turns out we helped each other with our manifest. And then I became friends with one of the women there. We've lost touch since, but we were friends for probably a couple of years. And so, you know, find a cool event that you want to go to, or, you know.
Well, do something online. So if you want to hang up, you can just hang up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can just turn yourself off. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's more low stakes than it used to be, but also knowing that you need to set the stage, or you need to like feather the nest now, because when you're older, it's harder. And you know, maybe then you get to a stage where then it's easier because you move into a 55 and older community or something like that. You know, I always thought I would do that, but I love my townhouse. And that's the thing, is that I do have a good community right here in my townhouse community, you know? So.
Well, and that's important.
I appreciate that.
Of like neighbors, right? We're not as neighborly as a society as we used to be. And so, get to know your neighbors. It was interesting. I have this set of friends of mine that are probably like my parents' age, but I used to walk through the neighborhood and then I'd walk into their neighborhood and I'd do a loop every day. And they would sit outside and just enjoy the day. And over time, I started chit-chatting with them, and now they're like family to me.
Right.
And known them for
years. That was just from walking by.
It was from walking by and just saying hi, and they were saying hi, and one of them said, come over here, sit down. And I was like, okay. And I sat down, and then now we've, you know, gone back and forth to each other's houses, and we're over there, and my kid loves being over there, and we do stuff with them. And, you know, so it's like, just also take that chance. Right. And, and what's the worst that can happen? You say hi and then someone's like, what, they're going to yell at you? I mean, maybe, but I mean, likely not. You know, someone will say hi back.
Well, if they do, then you dodge a bullet right away.
Right, exactly. Then you don't have to wonder, are they going to be a fun friend? But
right,
I mean, that's the whole thing, is just continue to live your life. And the other part of that too is having standards for friendships, right? Because just if you're lonely or isolated and you don't have any friends, don't just take the first person off the street as your new best friend, because, you know, you want to have some standards. You want to make sure you have some things in common, that they treat you with respect, that the relationship's reciprocal, like get to know them and figure it out. But if it's not going to meet your needs, just having a friend to check off that friend box and have somebody so you're not alone when you go to an event or something, that's not a reason for having a friendship or investing in a friendship.
Agree.
Yes. Well, I want to tell a funny story because about making friends, about just anything and everything that you can do to make a friend. Now, this is a friend that I made when I was like a kid, but I want you to think about the metaphor of what it would be for today. But I had just moved to Florida when I was a kid. I was in fifth grade, halfway through fifth grade, and I didn't know anybody. And I was pretty resentful to my parents for moving me out with only a semester left of elementary school. And, so I would move to my new neighborhood and I played a lot by myself. And so I would, roller skate in my driveway in like circles and just circles and circles. And one day I looked down at the end of my driveway and I had there were two bushes, one on each side of the driveway, and there was a rustling in the bushes. And I finally was like, okay, I'm going to go check it out. So I roller skated right down to the end of the driveway and I looked and there was this little girl hiding behind the bush. And she, obviously I saw her, she popped up and she introduced herself. And I said, you know, I said, I'm Corey. And she's like, cool. Want to play? And I said, okay. We were best friends most of our lives. And, even to this day, we're on a text thread with our two other friends from that very neighborhood that we talk relatively frequently via text all the time about things. We just had a reunion 2 years ago and she was there. We went bowling and hung out and stuff. And it was like, you know, you never know how things are going to turn out. And I'm not suggesting that you hide in your neighbor's bushes and jump out when they're mowing their lawn or something. But the idea is that people are a lot more receptive to the invitation of friendship than we think. And she had, I found out later on that she had been hiding in that bush for several days, getting up the nerve to say something to me. And the only reason she did was because I showed up at the end of my driveway. And we do that sometimes. Like we might be at work and think, oh, that person like two cubicles down is like so cool. I want to see if they want to grab coffee, but you just never do. Most of the time people are super receptive and you just say, hey, want to grab coffee? And they'll likely say yes. And so I always thought that was kind of a good learning lesson about just, you know, taking that chance.
There you go. Take the chance. But if there's an adult hiding in your bush, just don't take that chance.
Well, no, that is absolutely correct. And if they've been there for days on end, that's even scarier. But my point,
if there's if there's another adult in your neighborhood doing roller skating in her driveway over and over, you go over and talk to them and become friends with them. Just don't hide in the bush to do it.
Exactly, as an adult. But say hi.
Straight over there. Yeah.
Say hi. Exactly.
Say, hey, I've always loved roller skating. It's so cool that you're doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Aren't we helpful?
I know, lots of ways to make friends these days. So, all right, Tracy, any final words of wisdom?
Nope.
None. That's not typical.
That's it. I think we covered it all. ChatGPT it. Or Alexa. I just found out last night you can talk to your TV if there's Alexa on there.
Oh my gosh, talking to your TV reminds me of Poltergeist.
1 hour every, she's going to remind me every hour to. Did you hear that?
What'd she say?
Did you hear that?
No.
She just said, what kind of lesson did you discover?
She did?
Okay, now I have the creeps. Yeah. Like.
She said that right now, but you didn't prompt her.
I didn't.
Well, you said her name.
Because I said her name. Exactly.
What kind of lesson did you learn? Okay, well, let me ask you
yesterday
then. Because Alexa wants to know, what kind of lesson did you learn?
I'm gonna disconnect that is what I learned right now.
You just suggested it. Now you're like, we're disconnected.
The 10-year-olds have something in their room that's a box. It's like an Alexa box, but they have another name for it. And they were messing with her yesterday or something. They were like letting her burn them, you know, like a roast. And so then they came out to the living room. And I said, that TV doesn't talk back to you. And they said, yes, it does. I said, no, it doesn't. So we started talking and, you know, I'm always polite to Alexa because I don't want to be killed later on when she's embodied. Right. So I was like, hi, I'm just wanting to know, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and I said, I always have your back. And she's like, thanks for always having my digital back against these cheeky boys. And it went on and on. Right. And then I said, can you remind me to, you know, eat healthily once an hour? And the twins like turned it off. And so then she stopped talking to us, but until just now. So I learned. No, I've got to get on that. But like, yes, ChatGPT, the opportunities in your area, but do not become friends with ChatGPT or Alexa.
No,
that's what I just learned. I just got the creeps. That creeped me out so bad.
Okay, so not a friend, but a good resource.
a good resource. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good. Wow. Well, let's end with that. That's a good one. Where to make friends. Make friends using resources from Alexa and ChatGPT, but not with Alexa or ChatGPT.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, another great episode on the book. So to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.